Hey guys, it's Medina, and what you're about to hear are some debates that we recorded at the 2016 Muzak Carnival in Los Angeles. Now, Muzak is an organization that raises money for high school music programs, and you know, that's important to the great debates. I was first year trumpet in a high school band. Dave was first year clarinet in his high school band, and you could argue that what began there led us on a path of interest in rock and roll and recording that landed us here in the world of podcasting. The founder of Muzak, Donick Carey, was gracious enough to invite us to perform at the festival. We were alongside artists like Weird Al Yankovic, Kimya Dawson, The Specials, Cody Chestnut, Tall Walls, The Cooties. It was really cool. Anyway, check out muzak.org. That's Muzak, M-U-S-A-C-K. And we hope you guys enjoy these debates, and we'll see you next week.
Hey guys, it's The Great Debates. Has anyone here ever heard of our podcast? No, probably not. Okay, we got a couple fans.
Cooties in the house.
In case you aren't familiar, the idea with The Great Debates is that these two guys, Steve Healy and Dave King, debate each other on a variety of very serious topics, the great issues of the day, and I moderate. The other thing about this podcast is we never waste any time. We always get right into it.
We got to jump right into it.
And so we've got one for you.
Now, this is in honor of the performance we just heard, right? We were talking about the Beatles backstage.
The Tall Walls. This is sort of a synthesis of what happened with the Tall Walls.
And also, like, what's out there in the ether of today, right? Well, let's just hear the, I'm sorry.
Let's give it up for the Tall Walls.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to put 3 minutes on the clock.
Let's do it.
And these guys are going to do debate. The debate topic is Steve Healy taking the pro. Donald Trump couldn't name 5 Beatles songs.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. There's no way that Donald Trump could name 5 Beatles songs. This is not a man of culture. He's not a man of details and specifics. If asked to name 5 Beatles songs, he would probably sort of fumble. He'd hum a little bit of one or two, and then he'd sort of move on. Okay, this, you know, yeah, I'm a big fan. I love the Beatles. Everybody loves the Beatles. They're great music. Let's move on. Talking about The Wall. There's no way that he could name specifically the titles of 5 Beatles songs. He's just not a guy who cares enough about enjoyment and music and positivity to have remembered the names of 5 Beatles songs. I'd be surprised if he could name 2.
Okay, we're not talking about if Donald Trump in a debate setting were said, what's your favorite Beatles song? We're saying, like, give him a pen and paper in 10 minutes, can he write the titles of 5 Beatles songs? The guy was born in, like, the mid-40s, right? He was 22, he was in his early 20s when the Beatles were of the height of their popularity. Just by osmosis, just by being an adult, a young adult in the late 60s, he's gonna, I mean, let it be. How is he not going to know their 3 of their biggest hits and then 2 other songs? He's going to go, oh, there's the LSD one, Lucy and whatever, and we'll give him credit for that.
No, he doesn't get credit for
he
that.
He does.
He hasn't named the title.
There's
no way Donald Trump would be the man that he is had he even listened to the entirety of Let It Be with full concentration one time.
Well, we're not debating whether or not he actually listened to the full album Let It Be. What we're arguing is, could he name, let's say, 1 track from Let It Be, 1 track from, I mean, you bring up an interesting point here, which is that a lot of the Beatles albums are have self-titled songs on the album. So all if he does is say, like, there's the Sgt. Pepper one. That's one song right there.
Dave, you're falling into a trap. There's no way that he could even name the title of a Beatles album. There's no way that he could say Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I
doubt he could say Abbey Road.
Here's the problem. You're picturing current day Donald Trump, who is a bit addled and insane, and we all, I assume
place.
Most of us don't like him. The truth is that one of the things that brings us back to the people we used to be, to a prior state of mind more than anything, is music. And when Donald Trump hears about the Beatles, he's going to be brought back to an earlier state of mind. He's going to be reminded of his youth, of his young adulthood. He's going to say, oh, actually, I dated a girl at the time we were listening to the White Album, the Rocky Raccoon song or whatever it was. Boom, Rocky Raccoon, that's another one. He's He's up to three already.
That's a beautiful,
without even thinking about it.
A beautiful
this is the
vision.
Kind of deep memory that music tends to bring out of us.
He could name a Dave Clark 5 song. He could name a Monkees song. He could maybe even name a Rolling Stones song.
I think you're being
There's
a little
no
too cute about what kind
song.
Of pop culture Donald Trump was actually into without knowing. We don't know in the late 60s that he was actually... I don't think... I mean, the Beatles were so ubiquitous that it would have been impossible for him, even if he didn't like them. We're not saying what are his five favorite songs. We're saying just list five of them.
This is a guy who saw the late 60s and chose to go to business school. He was not sitting around listening to Beatles albums.
Well, actually, he
hey,
went...
the timer just went off but didn't quite get captured by my microphone. Guys.
All right. Whew. Okay. That was a hot one.
That was a hot one. What
getting heated here on a sunny afternoon. And...
Steve, can you name five Beatles songs?
Sure, easily.
Go for it.
Taxman, Rocky Raccoon, Let It Be.
So
I Wanna Hold Your
one of the ones we heard and then two of the ones we talked about.
I think we're about to hit four.
Is this for real?
She Loves You.
This feels embarrassing.
I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Okay, great.
I'm
a
Loser.
Easy.
Yeah, I can do it.
I'm kind of with Dave on this one.
Come on.
Yeah.
But I do agree that the guy has not immersed himself in the music, or at least...
what five Beatles songs do you think Donald Trump could name?
I think he can name Help.
No way.
Yeah, because that's just a word that... I think he can name Ticket to Ride, because it sounds like something he might say on The Apprentice.
Oh, interesting. I think he'd know Hey Jude. I feel like the guy was like 24 when Hey Jude came out. It was a huge... You heard it on the radio over and over again. How's he not going to know the name of that song?
Do you think Donald Trump has sung a parody version of Hey Jude with the word Jew in it?
I think that there's a good chance that like...
That's the best case
like
scenario he knows the song.
Illuminati-type party, someone other than him sang a song called Hey Jew. Mm. And he was like, that was... pretty funny.
That was hilarious.
Not
what
for
an original
mixed
song you can
audience, but that was funny.
I bet he can name Back in the USSR.
No way. An interesting satire.
I mean, the guy's
Boys?
Basically
no
an agent of the Kremlin at this point, right?
Yeah.
What Rolling Stones tune would...
would Trump
would be?
Well, Sympathy for the Devil.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Okay, I got another hot debate for us to get into. Healy, take the pro again, right?
Okay.
Why not?
Yeah.
This one's a little murkier. Are you ready?
Yeah.
3 minutes on the clock. Tom Cruise has a best friend.
Okay. Tom Cruise probably over the course of his life has had several best friends, but at any given moment, there's definitely a name he can drop as his best friend. Here's a guy who loves impersonating human behavior. He loves pretending to be a real human. He loves simulating romance, simulating action, simulating heroism. And he knows in his Scientology brain that having a best friend is a cool thing, and he has studied the arts of being pretending to be human, and so he can definitely throw down the name of a guy he thinks of as his best friend. Now, whether like next year it'll be the same guy, whether they really have a deep, lasting friendship, I doubt it, but I bet in any given moment he could say a best friend. It might even be different from hour to hour, but if you asked him, Tom Cruise, who's your best friend, he would say a name, and he would definitely believe in his head that that was his best friend.
Healy, you're making a classic mistake here. You're not paying attention to the wording. You're confusing our earlier debate with the first one. The question isn't Tom Cruise can name a best friend. The question is, does Tom Cruise, in fact, have a best friend? And I'm going to use everything you said against you.
Oh, who are you?
Tom Cruise, hold on a second.
Judge?
Tom Cruise is, as you said, a student of doing an impersonation of a human being. Yes, certainly he studied how people have close friendships with those around them. He studied how how human beings, real human beings, behave. Does he actually have a best friend? No. As you said, the person he named as his best friend 10 years ago is probably now, classified as a suppressive person and isn't allowed in near his thetan anymore. He does not have that one-on-one long-term relationship that we would all agree meets the definition of best friend. I would go so far as to say he doesn't probably have that many real friends. The only person who comes to mind probably for both of us is David Miscavige or Miscavige. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Do you have other nominees for
who
best friend
who
is?
Who was his producing partner that he had for years? Paula, whatever. She was probably his best friend for a while.
Well, it's interesting you bring this up because I happen to read the horrible 700-page book about CAA, and Paula Wagner is a key figure in it, and she talks about her relationship with Tom, and she talks about how her and Tom were purely business friends, and she makes it pretty clear that she separates herself from the personal life of Tom Cruise. I don't think there's any way that Tom Cruise would say that Paula, whatever her name is his best friend.
I think that if you hung out with Tom Cruise for about 5 minutes, in those 5 minutes, you and he would feel like, say, and believe that you were his best friend.
Well, now, whether he believes it or not, I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
If you want to reach some judgment that you get to
decide, off like, no,
that you get to decide what a best friend is, then that's fine. But I think both you and he would feel in that moment a more intense friendship than you probably ever felt in your life.
I think he would feel it. I think I would be scared. I would feel like this is weird.
I would feel the star power.
I agree with you.
You'd be absorbed in it. You would think, you would feel it. You would be better friends with him than you are with your best friend.
Well, that's absurd. I mean, this goes to the question. Every time that ringer comes out, it's what do people hard. Think? Do you guys think Tom Cruise actually has a best friend? No. Thank you. Wait, we have a.
I think Scientology assigns a best friend.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, you get one.
Comment from the crowd.
Yeah.
Scientology assigns a best friend to you.
I was convinced by Healy's argument that at any given moment, face to face with someone, he's their best. He's your best
yeah.
friend.
Isn't that the nature of a best friend? Is that it's not a temporal thing? It's like a
it's an ongoing thing.
We always say my best friend is someone who, if we didn't see each other for 2 years, we could sit down and it would be like we'd been hanging out all that time, regardless. That to me is like almost whatever. Who cares?
Okay, guys, we're going to take a break and allow the rest of the show to continue, and then we're going to be back a little bit later with a couple more debates.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks very much. Okay, guys, we're back with more great debates.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
How about Weird Al?
Weird Al Yankovic, everybody. How crazy was that? Legend.
I'm going to have us do what we like to call a micro debate. This one's going to be 2 minutes long. Dave King taking the pro.
Let's do it.
The topic is, it's a little too hot today.
It's a little too hot today, folks. If you're sitting in the shade, if you're inside, it's okay. But if you're in the sun, I'm seeing people wiping their brows. I'm seeing a lot of people reaching for water, ice cold water. If you could choose for it to be 5 degrees cooler today, you would. And that's why it is a little too hot today.
5 degrees cooler and you're reaching for a sweater. It's just the right temperature. In fact, it could be a hair hotter. People are sitting outside. There's beer available. There's an ice cream tent. I would like it as much as 8 degrees hotter. You got to be kidding me if you think it's just the right temperature.
The real problem isn't the actual heat. The problem is the stillness of the air. If there were a little more breeze, if there were a little more wind, I would agree with you.
I would say the air could be circulating more.
And I'm not saying
more.
It's boiling.
It's
not
a question of temperature.
I'm not saying I'm dying out here, but I am saying it's a little too hot today. Last time I checked, it's about 81 degrees, and let's be honest, it was hotter an hour ago than it is now.
Dave,
I would say, yes, it's getting cooler.
We're not debating it was too hot. We're debating it is too hot.
We're debating it's too hot today, and I would say that today also
includes... The topic
is
it's a little too hot today.
It's a little too... Thank you, Dan. It's a little too hot today. Today also includes the earlier part of the day, and I would say at noon, at 1 p.m., at 2 p.m.,
if you were out here... I think you're screwed, pal. I think you could have taken the topic, it's a little too cool today. It could be a little bit hotter. These are people who live in Southern California.
I don't see anyone reaching for a shawl. I don't see anyone taking the blankets and putting them over their shoulders. Instead, what I see...
A breeze.
Here's what I see. People going, oh, there's ice cream. Thank God, I'm sweating out here. It's a little too hot today.
If it were a little hotter, you could enjoy that ice cream a little more. You could get a beer. It's just the right temperature / slightly too cool.
Let me ask you this. When was the last time you set your home thermostat to 81 degrees? Never. The answer is maybe you're going as high
Enjoy
as 75,
the breeze,
76
passing through the trees.
If you're trying to preserve energy. Other than that, you're going at least, you're in the 69 to 72 zone.
Look,
this is 9 degrees warmer than that.
You know there's a big difference between home temperature and the ideal temperature for a backyard, picnic,
festival. There is if it's
a
little windier. And again, everyone's in the shade right now, but if you're in the direct sunlight, then you're feeling it even more.
I can hear the desperation in your argument. It's quite tragic.
No desperation. These are... Oh, clock is up.
Time's up, guys.
What do you think, moderator?
I don't know. I'm wondering what the people on the green think. Who thinks that it's a little too hot today? Yes.
It's just right.
We got
right.
a couple
it's
just right.
It's probably just right.
It's just right.
It's just yeah. right.
Yeah, Dave, Andrew, when you take the pro, you don't Damn. Typically... It's not your comfort zone.
I'm more of a tear the argument down guy than...
But I think you did. I think you did well.
Thank you. I'm
siding with you. It's a little too hot today. Everywhere other than this beautiful shaded lawn... Mm-hmm. It's a little too hot today.
I
think, 77 is a perfect temperature.
Well, it's not 77. We established that. Should we move on into some some fun times?
This will be something like a little bit of audience participation. There's a lot of folks here sitting on the green. I'm assuming they all live in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. The great thing about LA is that you can drive in one direction and be in the mountains. You can drive in another direction. You can be at the ocean.
Another, you can be in West Covina. You can be in City of Industry.
Exactly.
You can be in Bell.
Be in Santa
all
Anna,
of the beautiful
Commerce,
places that LA has Town to offer.
Ranch. I've got a topic about the way people like to live their lives in Los Angeles. Steve Healy taking the pro. Another 2 minutes on the clock. Someone on the grass here has been in the ocean today.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. When I look out at this crowd here, I see band members. I see cool dads, hipster dads. I see healthy moms.
We've got some head nodding there to hipster dads.
And I see kids. And between those people, somebody got out a surfboard. Somebody went for an ocean swim. Somebody went for a morning trip to the beach. Somebody here on this grass went and got in the ocean this morning.
There's no way you're going to wake up at like 8 in the morning, schlep all the way out to Santa Monica or Manhattan Beach, then spend 2 hours there or 3 hours there, get back on the 10, come all the way over here, and then spend the rest of it. If you came home, you'd be asleep right now because it's so exhausting. If you're going to come to this event, there's no way that you're going to go, you know, we'll start the morning out with a swim in the ocean, and then by 4 o'clock we'll get to the Muzak event and spend the rest of the day there. No one has the time to do that.
That's a cool, strong argument for
a
lazy...
not that many people on the grass.
For a lazy, slothful person such as yourself, great argument.
Well, I hate to say this about the people on the grass, but the people on the grass are the ones sitting. I would say they tend to be more relaxed and laid back than the people who are standing.
To the contrary, they're the people who planned ahead, got here early, are living the outdoor picnic lifestyle. Also, you haven't factored in the element of being a parent. When you're a parent, the day starts at 6 and you're just killing the hours. You just have to eat them up. A Saturday for a parent is just a matter of demolishing the day. If you can get in two activities, get down to the beach, let them run around, splash in the waves a little bit, fine, great. You ate up 3 hours, then you come back, go to Donix Carnival. Plus, some of these people might live in Venice, Santa Monica. We don't know. They're not people necessarily from here. May not have been a schlep. No traffic on a Saturday.
Agree, but if you live in Venice, can you imagine swimming in the morning and then driving all the way here? You're going to stay here until what, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock? If you want to spend the whole time here to see all... Oh, you're not going to go back to Venice at 7. That's crazy.
Well, this is a great one because we're going to get an answer.
Okay. For the folks that are here on the grass today, has anyone here been in the ocean today?
Yeah!
Yes!
Nice. That's awesome. Two people, I think.
Steve Healy wins because he lucked out and there was someone on the grass that had
it. Crowd decision.
I mean, I believed it. Okay. Is there anyone out there that might like to volunteer to be a guest on The Great Debates?
Our last little debate.
We got one debate left.
Oh, there's someone raising their hand back there in the black shirt.
We've got a man
in
the black shirt.
Come on up, sir.
Come on up.
This will just take a few minutes.
Do we have a microphone for our guest?
I think so.
Check, check. Check, check. Oh, check.
Oh, here we go. Perfect.
Welcome, sir.
Thanks for volunteering.
Thank you so much for volunteering. Okay. I'm going to ask you three questions, guest, and then we're going to have a debate based on your answers. Question number one is, what is your first name?
Walter.
Sorry?
Walter.
Walter. Everybody, Walter. Let's round of applause for Walter. Welcome Walter to the stage. Okay. Question number two. What's question number two?
What do you do? I forget.
What's
question two?
Where are you from?
Where are you from?
Where are you from, Walter? Sorry, blank there. Walter, where are you from?
Castro Valley, California.
Okay, Walter's from Castro Valley. Are you guys taking notes?
Yeah.
Got it up here.
Walter, Castro
Valley. East Bay? Is that where that is? Castro Valley? Never heard of it.
Okay. Walter, I have one last question for you, then we're going to debate something. What, Walter, did you have for lunch today? Right into the microphone.
This
there.
Isn't meant to trick you in any way.
No, it's just what did you actually have for lunch today?
You can lie. It's okay.
Maybe you grazed.
Air pop popcorn.
Wow.
Wow.
Very interesting. No, you sure you did. Four P's.
Okay.
Air pop popcorn?
Walter from Castro Valley had air popped popcorn for lunch today. Guys, here's the debate.
Yeah.
Steve Healy, you're going to take the pro. This person, Walter can name the actor who plays Captain America.
Okay, interesting.
Walter can name the actor who plays Captain America.
I don't think the popcorn helps me at all. I don't think Castro Valley is a huge factor here. I'm going to go on visual cues mainly. This is a guy who's wearing a black shirt. He's probably industry adjacent, entertainment involved somehow. I have a strong feeling he at least keeps up with the movies. Captain America is one of the biggest movie franchises out there. The guy's in like 50 movies. There's no way this guy can't name who plays Captain America.
The Captain America franchise itself isn't that big. The Civil War Marvel universe is. But there's too many people in the Marvel universe, and they're not all huge stars. If this were about Iron Man, I'd say, of course, everyone knows it's Robert Downey Jr. Captain America, a little more obscure. Also, I don't want to give it away, but the name is very generic and forgettable of the actor who actually plays Captain America. He's not the kind of guy who's on the cover of magazines the same way other people are. I think Walter's in the know, but I just think he kind of doesn't care about Captain America the way he does about his real interest in life. He look at the guy. He's not like a Marvel Universe buff. By the way, you left a huge argument on the table. Obviously, the popcorn means the guy's a movie fan. I don't know why you didn't use that to your advantage. This is a guy who likes the food of the cinema, literally the popcorn movies of the summer,
yeah,
of which I don't know why I'm giving you an argument here, but it seems like
you
missed
That's
huge
a
one.
Also, like, let's talk about the Castro Valley for a second.
I'd love to.
Here's a
That's
guy
why we're here.
Who moved from the East Bay down to L.A. So he has to defend L.A. constantly to his Northern California snob friends. So I'm guessing this is a guy who's invested some energy in defending and sticking up for pop culture, popular entertainment, popular movies.
It's not what I see at all. I see a guy who shamefully moved to Los Angeles out of necessity. I don't think he loves it here. I think he wishes he were still in the East Bay, in the Bay Area. And I think I'm glad you reminded me of the Castro Valley, because I think the values that this man was born and raised with, Northern California, the counterculture, sort of anti-popcorn movie. I'm going to keep going over the buzzer. I don't care.
Wow,
Walter, moment of truth is upon us.
Walter, can you name the actor who plays Captain America?
Chris Evans. Damn. Mm. Two for two, Healy. Great job.
Healy, well done.
You know, I got to say, I think I kind of just lucked out on that one.
Yeah. I mean,
no, you did. You
there's an industry.
Your arguing made him know.
Contingent here.
Hey, we have a present for Walter.
Oh, yeah.
We do. Walter, thank you so much for being a guest. Here's a Make America Debate Again hat.
Recommended that you not wear that.
Be careful
in any
where
public
you
place
wear that,
because it's too mistakable for another hat.
Don't wear it at Whole Foods.
I think you'll find the average person doesn't stop to pick up the one slight change in that hat.
Yeah. I think that's about it for us. I think now we have a wrap, some sort of, oh, thank you. We've been the Great Debates. Thank you, everybody, for listening against your
Thanks,
will.
Thanks, guys. The Great Debates.
Well, I believe we have a raffle item. Is that right, Donick? I think we're raffling off a Weird Al album. A Weird Al album.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.